A community that knows itself takes care of itself. The stories of those who live in the Matsu Borough are as varied as the people themselves. Some you have heard. Some, perhaps, you have not. This is Voices of the Matsu, bringing our stories to life.
I'm Emily Forstner, your host today with Voices of the Matsu. Throughout this program, we talk a lot about community, the what's and where's and who's and why's of those smaller groups we find within the Matsu. And today, we meet another. Newcomers. Resettled Ukrainians. Stories that reveal what it's like to relocate in the valley. First, we hear the story of a father who now works helping other newcomers. And we hear from two teenagers who share what it's like to be in high school when you don't speak the language. We learn that no two stories of resettling are alike, from the reasons to leave to the reasons to stay. By the way, you may have to listen carefully to understand with the accents, just as a newcomer may struggle with yours.
Two children and three parents, my mother-in-law and my parents, father and mother. Five suitcases and $2,000. June 11th, 2022.
There could be no better title for this episode than Welcome.
My name is Igor Melnik. I think newcomer and refugee. I don't like this word, immigrant. But I don't know why.
Igor and his family live in the Wasilla area, where he works full-time for Catholic Social Services in RAIS, and that stands for Refugee Assistance and Immigration Service. I meet up with him, though, in Anchorage, where he works a second job as an Uber driver. Ukraine is a huge country, and I wondered, where did they live?
Vinnytsia city, this is the same, in size is the same city like Anchorage, for example. This is approximately in the middle of Ukraine.
It's an understatement to say his life in Ukraine was different than now.
I didn't have any hobbies, only job. Every day, every time, every night. My life was not easy, but I was a rich man in Ukraine. I was a businessman. I had my own business, my own trademark, but I lost everything. Trademark Vin Oil, this is in the motor oil branch. Yes, I had about $2 million in my business and 18 employees, my staff.
How does one know when it's time to leave?
This was easy, very easy. Some people from Ukraine, from Russian mafia, I think they proposed me to sell my company, them, for a quarter of price, for real price. I refused, denied this proposition. And they came to my company place and robbed. They beat people and broke all locks, put their own locks, put their own guardian there, tell us bye-bye. And I tried to apply to write to police, to president, to minister, and as a result, I received only threatening of my family. They threatened to kill us, and we decided to leave Ukraine.
They moved to Poland in 2018, and that's when he switched from businessman to Uber driver.
I made about more than 20,000 trips in Warsaw. I experienced Uber driver. It was a big shock for me, but I'm alive. We received some permission for living for 1 year, and then we tried to continue this permission, but we were denied. Also without any explanation, because they didn't want to continue. We decided to go back to Ukraine, but I wake up in the morning at 5 o'clock in the morning to go to my Uber work, and looks at phone. What is this? The war began, and we decided, we understood that we have no place to go back. And we took our parents from Ukraine, and thanks this Uniting for Ukraine program, we had the possibility to go to America. We met with our sponsors. That was Americans. We never met these people, never knew these people before. We met with them online, and they helped us sign documents for us. This is Kathleen and Alan Cohn. They only signed documents. They found a rent for us, and we received our own rent. And I started working maybe 3 days after arriving for Cohn's family.
Can you imagine? Across the globe, 7 people, 5 suitcases, and very little money. It's early summer. You land in Anchorage. What do you think?
I expected to see much more beautiful place. We were shocked a little because of some dirty airport. When we went from airport to Osilla, we saw many homeless people. It was very big shock for us, because in Ukraine there are not so. I think there are very less homeless people. I'm in 1,000 times, and we were shocked a little, and we decided at once that we must leave Alaska as soon as possible to the downstate.
But not anymore.
And now we don't want to go to downstates. We looked around. We have many friends here, because we never had any friends here, any relatives in America. And we decided to stay in Alaska forever. A little long winter, but it's only 1 month. It's not easy, because you need to work, hard work here to live. But I think the best plus in this life in America, that maybe I feel free here. Because, for example, in Poland, in Ukraine, not in Poland, Poland next. In Ukraine, I was afraid to speak Ukrainian. Can you imagine this? Because of Russia, Russian mafia everywhere in government, and corruption, total corruption everywhere. And you Ukrainian, and you are afraid of speaking Ukrainian in Poland. This is European Union. When we walked with my wife, for example, on the street, we also were afraid to speak Ukrainian or Russian, because behind you is walking Polish, for example, and when he is hearing Russian, Ukrainian language, you at once hearing the 4-letter words behind you. Oh, get away from here. What are you doing here? Something like that. But in America, I feel free. I can not only speak, I can shout any language and nobody pays attention at me. I have two work now. But I can pay for everything, for all expenses. But in Ukraine, it's impossible. I feel free here.
And now the successful businessman from Ukraine turned refugee has full-time work with Reyes.
Yes, I am a refugee and I help refugees. Difficult to imagine. I'm working for Catholic Social Service, and after in the evenings I work for Uber and DoorDash. I help people to become self-sufficient. I apply for benefits, for cash assistance, for food assistance, for Medicaid. And when I, for example, I meet client in my office, in my room, and they tell me that, oh, it's a big problem, I don't know, it's impossible to solve this problem. Every time I tell them, don't worry, I know everything about it. I went through it. I know everything about it. Your problem will be dissolved very, very quickly. It's not a problem. Believe me. I will help you, and in 1-2 days it will be okay. It's not a problem. And they, oh yes, you know, also a refugee. Yes, also a refugee. 3 years ago, I was like you.
At 50 years old, Ihor has had to change everything, from home to language. What would he say has been his greatest change?
I have become more tolerant for people, because I see that everybody, every American is not the same like Ukraine, like Russian. I don't know why, maybe because of, in America, it was no war for 300 years. Maybe here, no, so many corruption. People are more kind here. I have more patience for people, more compassion. Like to say, maybe to appreciate Catholic Social Service. This is a beautiful agency. And particularly Robin Dempsey, I think she can call Iron Woman, Iron Lady. I think this is a good job, but it's not a very easy job. That's why I think that she can be called Iron Lady. And also appreciate Bridget Reynolds, Sherry Hughes, Sue Junger. They are working like a bee here. Also appreciate all Catholic Social staff, because they are incredible. It's impossible to imagine in another country. It's amazing. Amazing experience.
He looks down at the notes he's brought along, pauses, and then looks up again.
I think that every American can understand that he or his father, mother, grandfather, grandmother also were refugee sometime. And you can also be a refugee, for example, in 1 year, in 1 month, in 1 day. Nobody knows what will happen in 1 hour, or, well, 1 day, or 1 month, or 1 year. Somebody tells that, there's so many refugees, so many immigrants, our workplaces, they steal our workplaces, etc. I can tell such people that you can be also refugees in 1 minute. Think about that.
You've been listening to Ihor Melnick on Voices of the Mat-Su on our episode called Welcome, produced for Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. Coming up next is Act Two, when we get to hear not the voice of the adult, but the voices of two Ukrainian teenagers and their stories of living and learning in the Mat-Su.
My name is Ilya. I can't say that I'm a refugee, because I came with my dad, and we are not living a life like refugees live. We have our own place to live, food. We are not living with a lot of people in one room.
My name is Slavik. I'm not a refugee.
I'm
not a refugee, because me too. I have home, I have car, I have eat.
I meet up with Ilya and Slavik on a sunny summer afternoon in an empty classroom at Houston Middle School. Ilya is a senior in the district, and Slavik is a sophomore. Alongside us is Mark Reed. Mark is their ELL teacher, and ELL stands for English Language Learner. He's a teacher at Houston High School. But you quickly recognize that Mark is as much an advocate for his students as he is their teacher.
It's a person, they're in a situation, listen to them, understand their situation, you know, just like any teacher should. Like, each 30 kids in your classroom are different, so you should take the time to kind of stop and tell me what you're about.
Ilya's hometown of Kharkiv is the second largest city in Ukraine and is directly impacted by the war.
I'm from Kharkiv. It is very close to Russian border. Moved to Alaska in March 2023. I wasn't surprised when it was snowy, because I came in March, there was still snow. I wasn't surprised, but I didn't like that it was cold. And my impression was that Anchorage airport is huge.
Slavik and his family have been here just 7 months.
Because my dad told me, I'm going to Alaska. Me, okay, no problem. It's so hard because little bit kids is so cry, mean, are blind, and no sleep in two days, no sleep, and so hard. Oh, give me a second.
Slavik takes a minute and he looks down at his hands and silently puts a name to each finger.
13 kids, big family.
Slavik sits across from me behind a Chromebook. On it, a Google Slide PowerPoint program collects my audio and then translates it into Ukrainian for Slavik to interpret. It's not unlike using Google Translate on your phone, and this is the way non-English-speaking students often work to understand a teacher's instruction. It's a slow process, with a certain amount of inaccuracy.
What is the hardest thing for newcomers? It's to understand the whole system of America, how it works. Like for school, when I first came the last year, I couldn't understand this Chromebook system, grade system, parent views, student views, how to get a good grade, all the stuff. I didn't understand it. But when I came to school this year, it became to me much easier.
A brand new system in a brand new school with a brand new language. What would be their favorite class?
Oh, my favorite class is gym. My favorite class because I like sports.
History. I like the teacher more. Not the subject, but teacher. He can be funny sometimes. Also, I like the way he views the life, his ideas.
Ukraine's education system follows more of the European model.
So in Ukraine, we have 10 subjects we are going to study for the whole year. And we separated for every day. Every day we have 7 subjects. And they are like in a line. We study English every day. Math every day.
In Ukrainian, math is so hard, but here is math is so easy.
In Ukraine at 16, options open up for students to choose either a route in trade school or college. And Ilya was in the college route.
One of my regrets when I moved to Alaska was that I quit my college in Ukraine. I feel that the Ukrainian education is kind of better.
Ilya knows English, but just imagine for a moment what it would be like in Slavic shoes if you didn't know the language.
She said English and Google Translate, no. And 1 hour she speak English and I don't understand.
No one knows good teaching better than students. So what wisdom can Ilya and Slavik share?
Students, when they don't understand something, they don't want to learn it. And they just give it up. So maybe advice for teachers to give these foreigners more time, personal time, to explain everything and maybe think about a problem together. And this will probably motivate them to study and learn something. It depends on understand you English or not. If you understand, you can easily learn. But when you don't understand language, and teacher doesn't give you personal time, it's so hard to learn something.
Oh, I don't understand teacher, but I understand Mr. Reed.
Slavik's referring to Mr. Reed.
I don't really look at them any different than I would any other student, just gotta slow down my speech a little bit.
She speak is so thin down, but all of them, teachers speak so fast and don't understand him. But I like Mr. Reed. She speaks is slowing down.
School's not the only thing students such as Ilya and Slavik have to learn to navigate.
So the most noticing thing for me from students were small talks. I don't like small talks. They doesn't have any sense. Like, how are you doing? I'm fine. That's it. And I wasn't glad with that, but then I got used to it because it's the way everybody talks. I have a friend, she is in United Kingdom. She also has the same stuff with small talks, and she told me that she found friends using small talks. Because small talks is a part of communication, and it is the first step to know each other.
Learning small talk and learning to navigate a store.
The stores are huge, so when you first come into the store, it's hard to find something, especially when you don't understand tables, which are about different categories of supplies.
And then there's a shift in food.
And the most that I miss is Ukrainian bread and Ukrainian cottage cheese. I liked in Ukraine every morning to put cottage cheese to make a black tea and just very good breakfast. But here, I don't know why, there is no cottage cheese.
Ilya had some advice for newcomers.
Just as fast as you can, get your documents in place and start driving. We still have problems with documents. So I can't get my permit. I passed the test, but I can't get. Life in Alaska is impossible without driving.
But what's most important to a teen? Their friends.
I talk to my Ukrainian friends every day. By using messengers or calls.
I don't know, because my life with Ukrainian is so good, because I have Ukrainian so big friend, but here, no friend. I think it's so I'm no speak English, but now is I'm supposed my speak English so good, but now here, no friends. No, Ilya is friends, but I have one or two friends and Ukrainian, but no American friends.
So was joined the soccer team. So the students knew something about me, and it was easier to talk about with them about topics we like. But still, I don't feel that they are very good friends. Like, I feel more connection with Ukrainian guys.
It made an even bigger difference when Ilya traveled with the team to Kodiak.
You get to know each other better. I actually didn't feel that I was a part of the team. I just felt that I was a player. But all these trips add this connection to a team.
I'm not saying school's not fun, but what do they do outside of it?
Ride a bike, or play soccer, or help my dad.
So I can play soccer with my dad. I can play video games with my Ukrainian friends. Yes, maybe I also have some outside activities, like pickleball.
Pickleball. I wasn't expecting that one.
I play soccer with Ukrainian in here, but now I'm not playing soccer because my leg is so... I'm broken my leg.
Don't worry. Slavik meant his leg was hurt, not broken. And as much as he may want to play on the soccer team, his biggest drive is to go to work.
They're very driven. They want to get to work. They want to get into society, kind of see where they're at, I think, in society and see what this place has to offer. And then they're off to work pretty quick.
Slavik's father is skilled in construction. During the school year, he's found work with the district.
He works with this school. He's a student.
A custodian. And after school and on weekends and during breaks, he works in construction, and so does Slavik.
Now I'm work building in my dad.
Slavik's family has two homes now and is working on a third to help family members newly arrived from Ukraine. And in this, Slavik also helps.
I help in English speak, translate English, or watch his system in school.
Yeah, they're very family-oriented people, so they love having family around.
Slavik's happy that his cousins have arrived. For one reason.
I speak him with Ukrainian, no English, only Ukrainian.
I asked the two young men, once they graduate from high school, will they stay in Alaska?
Yes, because it's so good.
Yes, of course.
They know that, they understand, I think, the difference. You know, they wish they could have stayed in the Ukraine, but they understand that this is a good place.
It's still war there, so it's better to stay here and safe than go there. And now the war got into escalation part when you can't move out of the country when you're 17. So the situation gets worse, and parents try to get their kids out of there. So I think it's better to stay here, and I will see Ukraine not as my home, but I will come there as tourist.
Ilya is enrolling in homeschool for his senior year. He plans on pursuing some sort of work in finance or computer science. And for Slavik, he's decided to stay at Houston High School, in part to learn English more with Mr. Reed.
I've always just tried to treat everybody, and then including like the, just because it might not say it on your passport, like, well, you're an American citizen now, so welcome, and now you're just part of the party.
One word, just one word I asked them to describe this first year as a newcomer.
Impressive, and then tiring.
At first, impressive, and then tiring. And you, Mr. Reed, one word.
Honor. I mean, like, it's been a real honor to work with them. They're a good community that has, you know, helped me, and I've helped them.
We've heard two stories today. A refugee who now helps other refugees in this new world, and the stories of two high school students working hard to learn. These are unique stories that remind us of the impressive and tiring work it is to relocate to a new place halfway across the world, world you didn't choose, with a brand new language to boot. And it's a world they are working hard to make better for their families and everyone around them.
I think Alaska, this is the best state in the United States of America. Welcome to Alaska, which is the best place for refugees, and not even for refugees, for everybody.
Дякую.
That's thank you in Ukrainian. Ilya tried hard to teach me how to pronounce that, and that's not an easy task. But here goes. Дякую. Thank you. It's been an honor to get to know each and every one of you today. And welcome. Please, make yourself at home. Listeners wanting to know more about the RAISE program can contact Bridget Reynolds through the website at cssalaska.org or Ihor at the Wasilla office found at 1225 West Spruce Avenue. And listeners wanting to know more about how to help with the ELL program can contact the school district at 907-746-9200. That's it for today's episode of Voices in the Mat-Su. If you have a story or know of someone who does, contact us at voices@bigcabbageradio.org. Until next time, it's been nice getting to know each other a little bit more. Special thanks to the Big Cabbage editorial board and sound editor Emma Keachley. Thanks for listening. Stay good out there, Mat-Su.
This was Voices of the Mat-Su, sharing stories told by those who live in the Mat-Su borough. To revisit this and past stories, go to bigcabbageradio.org. This project is funded by a grant from the Mat-Su Health Foundation and is produced by Emily Forstner for Big Cabbage Radio. The views expressed in Voices of the Mat-Su do not represent the views of Big Cabbage Radio or the Mat-Su Health Foundation. Comments or questions about this show may be sent to voices@bigcabbageradio.org.